What's up, guys? I'm Chris Holdsworth with MMA Surge, and this is the MMA Rundown brought to you by FanDuel. We're going to talk about one topic for 3 minutes and then move on to the next one. Here in studio, we got Max Payne Griffin. Let's go. All right, first topic, we got Zombie beat Inge in a 5-round war. I thought it was a great fight. Zombie did a good job of mixing in the takedowns. He had some good grappling. Was on Inge's back for like probably had like minutes and minutes of riding time on the back in a couple different rounds. But you know, Inge, the tough dude that he is, he hung in there and he fought out of all those bad positions. Man, but Zombie pulled through. What'd you think about that main event?
Yeah, I was surprised to see Zombie get those takedowns. You know, he worked in those takedowns and really, I didn't think Inge thought he was going to bring him in. And like you said, he was on his back. And I heard actually Zombie actually dislocated his shoulder, I read today, and popped it back in.
In the fight?
In the fight. Damn. And no one knew. I read that about 20 minutes ago.
That's cool. I didn't know that. You know, whenever you like an injury happens, if you have a good poker face and you don't let the fans know, then you're doing a good job. So we had that war, Vera and Grant. I paid close attention to that because I fought Grant in the past, and Marlon Vera's a bantamweight coming up in the ranks, you know, beating all, the tough opponents. Man, those elbows down the middle, those cuts. Did you see Grant's face?
Yeah, like, Chito, man. Chito Vera is a killer, man. I fought with him in Mexico City. That's when I met him. About 4 or 5 years ago, and he's a stud. Really wily, but it was good. I mean, I know you fought Grant, and to see Grant making his resurgence, coming back with these big knockouts, used to be a really grappler guy, and hell of a fight, but those elbows, Chito with those ones just straight in and bleaked them.
Yeah, he hit a few of those that, you know, gave him some big cuts on the face, and they both had some good grappling exchanges too. Like, Grant got a couple takedowns, but then Vera ended up on top and almost had him in a rear naked choke in that third round. Like, I don't know how he got out of that. Like, that was crazy.
He almost tapped.
You saw. He was like this. Yeah. Then he was like, maybe not.
Yeah.
And then he like went to mount and, you know, finished on top. But, kudos to Vera. He's climbing up in the ranks. And, you know, I'm impressed every time he fights. It looks like he's getting better, And then Brown's TKO over Lima. I think we all called that last week. Me, Cody, Garrett, we all went with Matt Brown. That dude's a savage. He's still fighting, you know, still fighting, putting on entertaining fights, still finishing. I think he's got like a ton. How many finishes has he got in the UFC? He's got a ton.
It's around 20. I think he has the record. I can pull up the stats, but it's ridiculous. And we had a feeling, you know, it was a plus 450 for him to get the TKO or KO finish. And I pushed that as my lock of the week for FanDuel. I thought it was big odds to get it. And when that hit, he didn't just put him away by punches. He put him lights out. So that was wild.
Yeah, that punch came out of nowhere, and he snuck that in there. A little right, I think it was. And Lima, man, good night.
Yeah, sometimes those MMA gloves, that's all you need is those little sneak something in there. One shot, you know, and it's lights out. So, kudos to Matt Brown for that knockout.
Last thing, what do you guys think is next for Matt Brown? Because he knows he's at the end of his career, 40. So he called out a couple guys. He called out Damian Maia. He called out Cowboy Cerrone. It's kind of like the retirement fight for this kind of group. Who would you guys like to see Matt Brown fight next?
I like that Maia matchup. I think, Maia's coming off a couple of losses. Matt, stylistically, it's going to be a good fight for Maia, you know, because if he takes Matt down, I think, you know, he's got a good chance of finishing him. But then Matt's probably thinking like, hey, I'm going to keep this guy off me and finish him on the feet. So I would be interested for that matchup.
I like the Cerrone fight. Although I know Cerrone was going back to 55, I think that would be a good fight. Both really striker kind of guys, both older with the mileage, and I like to see that.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the next topic. Anderson Silva beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., winning a split decision. And some say that it should have been a unanimous. Like, I don't know how, one of those judges gave it to Chavez, but, you know, boxing judges, they're probably going to go with the boxers. But, you know, for people who don't know, Anderson Silva, his boxing is super legit. Like, I used to watch him spar and go to wild card boxing and just, like, call out the boxers and just kind of, like, hang on the ropes and work his bobbing and weaving. And he had good movement, like, years ago. So I think boxing has always been in his repertoire. Of course, his kickboxing and shoot box, you know, Muay Thai style has always been, you know, on display. But he's a great boxer, you know. And if you didn't know that, now you know, right?
Yeah, no, it was good for me to see from the MMA community, on the MMA side, to have
him he held go it out down. There he and finally hold it held down. Down for the MMA community. Finally Thank holding you. It down. Thank you. Yeah, he started to get into this groove in like the third round. You know, he warmed up a little bit. And how many rounds did they – was it an 8 3-minute?
Yeah, I believe it was an 8 3-minutes.
So that's kind of what we're seeing with these, you know, MMA boxers is usually like the 8 3-minute rounds. Mm-hmm. So gives the boxers time to work, you know, which is cool. And Jake Paul – or did Anderson call out Jake, or was Jake calling out Anderson?
So he called out the Paul brothers and said he wants to get in the mix for the – they asked him about the influencer. What do you think about the YouTube boxers? He says, I want to get in the mix. He's
I don't
willing
think
to
Jake
fight.
Will fight Anderson.
No.
I don't think so. He's scared. He's scared. That's why he said, oh, he can fight on my card. Yeah. But he didn't say, oh, I'll fight him.
His tweet, his tweet was to, hey, Anderson, much respect. Oh, here it is right here in front of us. Respect Anderson Silva, the Spider, on the win. It would be an honor to have him versus Roy Jones Jr. on the same card as him, with him and Tyrone Woodley, which I like.
He's scared. He's a big mouth. You know? he talks trash to everybody else.
As soon as Anderson says something, he said, hey.
Much respect. respectful.
I would love to have you on my card. He passes it on to Roy Jones, like, hey, big bro, can you handle this one for me?
Exactly.
Those have been some rumors for a while, him and Roy Jones Jr. I don't know if you know Max. Yeah, they've been kind of
going back and forth.
And it's been like for about 10 years now, they've been kind of discussing this possibility, because Anderson actually has a couple. He was 1-1 in boxing before he entered in MMA. Now he got this boxing match in. So I would like to see that. I think him versus Roy Jones would be fun. See him in the mix, especially on that Jake Paul card. We know we're going to be watching.
I wonder how much money Anderson made on this fight.
Report only said $100,000 for purse.
So. I don't think so.
So maybe there's some sponsors, maybe there's some other stuff.
100 G's? I don't know, man.
It does seem low.
It goes further in Brazil, I think.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Low. Yeah, I want to see Anderson back in there. You know, he's a good boxer. All right, next topic is this whole drama between Strickland and Orlando Sanchez. So I guess here's the thing. When I first saw it, I thought they were just grappling and sparring, and something happened, and it took me a couple times to kind of watch back the video, and then I saw Orlando's statement in his video about why he actually did it. So I guess Strickland came in and was talking rubberish and, you know, talking trash like Strickland
does.
The guy talks trash, you know, during fights. You know he's going to talk trash probably in training too. So I guess Orlando overheard, and when it was time to spar, Strickland had like a left underhook. And Orlando's a big dude, so he just had the overhook and just ripped it, which caused the straight arm lock. I think it was like more of a straight arm lock, or it could have been more of a...
I thought it was a... maybe... Like he had an underhook and shot it across, and it was like
it could have been either one. I think the first one he tried to do the key lock, and the second one it was just like, bam! It was just like a quick straight arm lock. And Sean throws a spinning back fist at Orlando. It barely hits him. I think Orlando blocked it. And then he threw a front snap kick to the gut. And then after that, I would have been swinging. You know what I mean?
I would have been fighting for
sure. Yeah, if someone throws a back spinning fist at me and then a front kick, like, I'm sorry, bro. We're fighting. Yeah. There's no like, hey, like, what are we? No, we're fighting.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure why Orlando didn't just double leg him on his head right there and just smashed him.
I'll pop it up here for you guys to kind of review in real time.
Yeah.
Let's see. So there.
Here we go. He's got that collar tie. You know, he's working. Yep. So there, he tried it there, right? And he didn't have a deep enough underhook for it to work. But watch when Strickland gets this left underhook deeper this next time. Orlando goes for the same thing. Watch this left underhook of Sean. Boom. It comes in. Comes in. Bing. See? Straight arm lock. Yep. Straight arm. Boom. And then he was holding his actual hand, like, so it must have hurt him.
It looked like it hurt.
Yeah, because he was holding it like it was broke. Nice front kick, though. I like that. Man. Yeah, so I wonder if it actually hurt his arm, because he was holding it like it hurt. But, if someone did that to me, I don't know we'll be fighting for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're just grappling, right?
Yeah,
it didn't seem like they're trying to break each other's shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That look, I mean, dude, how big that guy is. ADCC champ all that. Like, I mean, to me, it was malicious. I mean, I posted something about this. I thought it was fucked up. But, I mean, you are training.
Yeah.
But to me, that's the equivalent of someone getting your arm and, you know, on an arm bar and pulling it quick and...
No, for sure.
You know.
For sure.
And what he was saying is, you know, he usually goes hard in sparring. He's had a couple interviews, Orlando. He said, that's a normal move I pull off. He said, I wouldn't do that if I didn't know he had a fight coming up. Because there's a difference between this guy's getting close to a fight coming up.
So you can hurt someone when there's not a fight. So he tried to hurt him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hurt him if I knew he had a fight coming up.
Yeah.
That sounds like a dick.
I can see maybe do that in competition. That's like one of those moves like slamming your partner on his head, you know, in sparring. Like, no, you don't want to do that. But in competition, it might be legal. Yeah. In a fight, it's legal. So, yeah, you can get away with that. Like, throwing elbows at your partner in grappling in MMA is legal. But, like, in grappling in here, it's not. But guys still try to do it. Like, we're doing MMA. So, it's – yeah, he needs to get that under control, man. Some guys just have, you know, malicious training egos that they just try to get over on people. All right, next topic. Weidman starts a podcast. His first guest is Anderson Silva, and he apologized to Silva, you know, for the whole situation of when, you know, Anderson's leg got broken when Weidman fought. So I guess Weidman celebrated kind of crazy and, you know, didn't show respect to Anderson during the whole thing. And now when things came first full circle and it happened to Weidman, he saw how Uriah Hall was so respectful and he cared about, you know, his well-being and, you know, how he was doing. And he probably had a come to fruition, like, man, like I acted like a douche when I beat Anderson like that.
I don't know why it took 10 years to apologize.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes like trauma like that for you really dig deep and like really think about stuff. Like I know it's taken me sometimes years where I'm like, man, like, why did I do that? Like, I should have done this. But I think as humans, we have to learn from stuff like that. And I think Chris is just going to have a deeper perspective and a better look on things now that he's had to go through that himself.
It's a wild circumstance that the guy it happens to is the same guy that gave it to the other guy all this time later. And the one thing where I can kind of understand where Chris is coming from is that, you know, he became the middleweight champ right as it happened. So that rush of emotion, the belt getting tied around you. Of course, he's celebrating. It's jubilation. His family's happy. Everything's going crazy. On the other side, Anderson Silva's thinking, am I ever going to be able to fight again? I'm going to have to go through a year of recovery. It's all – so he felt all that emotion at once when he snapped his leg and went, oh, shit, this is what Anderson was feeling. I need to reach out to that guy.
No call, no text, no, hey, man, how you doing? You know, I mean, I reached out to Ramiz after taking his ear off.
That's class.
You know, I don't know.
Now his ear's in your bio.
How's that ear doing?
Yo, sorry about that,
yeah,
dude.
But hey.
Yeah, but like when you get injured like that, you have a lot of time to think about things. Yeah. And, you know, Weidman's probably, you know, sitting in the hospital like, man, I acted a certain way versus Anderson, and I need to reach out and, you know, make things better and to feel better about that situation. And that's a long, you know, road to recovery, and I wish he recovers fast. But like we talked about before, like, who knows if that's done for him? You know, like coming off that, you know, his age, you know, where he was at in the division.
Yeah.
What do you think? You know, you think he's done?
I think it's gonna be. You know, he's trying to be an example for his kids and other fighters, and it looks like he's already back in the gym doing some light pad work. And
I would love to see him
around back.
Don't get me wrong. Like,
yeah.
If he can come back and show the resilience and just show him picking back up and overcoming the obstacles, like, that's always, like, cool to see. But at the same time, like, you know.
He's older. He's
we'll see. Yeah, we'll see how he feels when it's all healed. All right. Next topic. We got to talk about it. We got Max Payne versus Carlos Condit versus at UFC 264. Man, everyone's been talking about this fight. I'm super pumped for you. This is a great opportunity. This is a great fight. You know, Carlos Condit's a vet, and I think this is the fight that, you know, when you beat him, it's going to, you know, put a lot of eyes on you and catapult your career to that next level. So let's talk about it a little bit, man. Like, how you feeling? You know, how's training going? Give us the rundown.
Man, I'm pumped for this fight. I actually was watching Carlos Conner on WEC when I was younger, watching him just mean mug and walk across, and I'm like, I want to fight that dude. Yeah, this was a long time ago, man.
It's crazy how 15, 20 it's years crazy ago, how, like, yeah. things come to like that.
I remember
right?
saying
like,
that. I want to fight that guy. I wanted to fight that guy. Now to get a call, you know, to fight him, I accepted on the phone. He took a couple weeks to accept. We didn't think he was going to accept it. Probably contract stuff, but either way, I'm ready to go, man. It's been 8-week camp, but I'm looking at it longer than that. I'm looking at it my whole life. I'm a lifelong martial artist. Been doing martial arts since I was 4. I've been training for 30 years, so I look at it like that. Like, I'm my whole life is prepared for this moment. Not so, oh, it's a 6-week camp. My life is a camp, you know? I live this life, so. And, you know, I have a lot of people, too, saying, you know, he has so much experience, and, you know, he's going to do this, and what, you got to watch out. Fuck that. He can do whatever he wants. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm going to take him out. I'm going to take him out. The natural born killer is going to be laid out the pasture, and that's how it's going to go.
Love it, love it. I got to jump in, because I recall when I first met you here, and we talked about fights, and you wanted to get fights. I was like, who are you going to get next to get up there? You're like, man, I want Vicente Luque. I want Carlos Condit, but they're not listening to me. They're not giving me the fighters. And then you got these other fight offers. And that just shows the momentum of these vicious TKOs. The UFC's wide open on Max Griffin now. And now they're calling you saying, you want Carlos, a big name like that? You're not begging for the name. They're giving you the name. So that's cool to hear that.
Yeah, and especially on a card like this. My first fight was on the Conor card versus Nate Diaz part 2 in Vegas. So now there hasn't been fights in Las Vegas with the crowd for over a year.
Tell me this. Are you going to be on the main card?
No, they took me off the main card.
Okay.
No, I'm the main fight on the prelims.
Okay.
Before the main card. Which is great. Still. Because more people watch that than the pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure.
You know?
You're right. You're right. No, that's going to be huge. So anything in this camp, I mean, shoot, I say do the same thing you've been doing the last couple camps. But, I mean, you tell me, any Chris on his camp, do you switch it up for a guy like Carlos, or you just keep that happy-go last two fights?
I keep
fights,
the happy
thing?
Stuff, but we've been doing different stuff. I mean, just different tweaks. I mean, I found my groove, but we've been doing more, you know, more stuff with Slava, different, you know, working the different kind of striking, having guys throw certain things and just working certain stuff. Yeah, I can't wait. I got so much for Carlos and much respect to him, but it's no love now. It's no fan shit now. It's an ass whooping, and then we'll be cool afterwards.
Heck yeah, man. We're excited for you. All right, thanks for watching the MMA Rundown brought to you by FanDuel. Please don't forget to like and subscribe to our channel. We'll see you next time.